Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we are reading Bhagavad Gita, fifth canto, part 1, chapter 11. Jadabhar instructs King Rahugana. And I believe we're on the third text.
Na tasya tattva grahanaya saksha.
Natasya tattva grahanaya
saksha. Natasya tattva grahanaya
saksha.
Natasya tattva grahanaya saksha.
Natasya tattva grahanaya saksha.
Varirya sir api vacha samasam.
Bhariyasir api vacha samasam.
Bhariyasir api vacha samasam.
Bhariyasir api vacha samasam.
Bhariyasir api vacha samasam.
Svapne nirutya grihameni sakyam.
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 Na yasya hayanumitam svayam syat.
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 All right, I'll read the whole thing through and then others can repeat.
Natasya tattva grahanaya saksha varirya api vacha samasam svapne nirupya grihamedi sakyam nayasya heya namitam svayam syat.
Natasya tattva grahanaya saksha.
Natasya tattva
grahanaya saksha. Variyasir api vacha samasam.
Svapne nirupya grihame sakyam.
Svapne nirupya grihame sakyam.
Nayasya heya namitam svayam syat.
Natasya tattva grahanaya sakshat.
Natasya tattva grahanaya sakshat.
Variyasir api vacha samasam.
Variyasir api vacha samasam.
Svapne niruktya grahamedi saukhyam.
Svapne niruktya grahamedi saukhyam.
Nayasya heyanumitam svayam syat.
Nayasya heyanumitam svayam syat.
Natasya
tattva grahanaya sakshat.
Variyasir api vacha samasam.
Svapne nirupya grihamedi saukhyam.
Nayasya heyanumitam svayam syat.
Nayasya heyanumitam svayam syat.
Anyone else? Na.
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 Tasya.
Tasya.
Of him.
Of him.
The student studying the Vedas.
A student studying the Vedas.
Tattva Brahmanaya.
Tattva Brahmanaya.
For accepting the real purpose of Vedic knowledge.
For accepting the real purpose of Vedic knowledge.
Sakshat.
Sakshat.
Directly.
Directly.
Viriyasi.
Viriyasi.
Very exalted.
Very exalted.
Api.
Api.
Although.
Although.
Vacha.
Vacha.
Words of the Vedas.
Words of the Vedas.
Samasan.
Samasan.
Sufficiently became.
Sufficiently became.
Svapne.
Svapne.
In a dream.
In a dream.
Nirupya.
Nirupya.
By example.
By example.
Vrihamedi Sakyam.
Vrihamedi Sakyam.
Happiness within this material world.
Happiness within this material world.
Na.
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 Yasya.
Yasya.
Of him who.
Of him who.
Heya Anumitam.
Heya Anumitam.
Concluded to be inferior.
Concluded to be inferior.
Swayam.
Swayam.
Automatically.
Automatically.
Syat.
Syat.
Became.
Became.
Translation. A dream becomes, you can repeat after me, a dream becomes automatically known.
A dream becomes automatically known.
To a person as false and immaterial.
To a person as false and immaterial.
And similarly, one eventually.
And similarly, one eventually.
Realizes that material happiness.
Realizes that material happiness.
In this life or the next.
In this life or the next.
On this planet or a higher planet.
On this planet or a higher planet.
Is insignificant.
Is insignificant.
When one realizes this.
When one realizes this.
The Vedas,
the Vedas,
although an example, although an excellent source,
although an excellent source,
are insufficient to bring about direct knowledge of the truth.
Are insufficient to bring about direct knowledge of the truth.
I'll read it all the way through now. A dream becomes automatically known to a person as false and immaterial. And similarly, one eventually realizes that material happiness in this life or the next, on this planet or a higher planet, is insignificant. When one realizes this, the Vedas, although an excellent source, are insufficient to bring about direct knowledge of the truth. Purport by His Divine Grace. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:45, chapter 2, text 45, Krishna advised Arjuna to become transcendental to the material activities impelled by the three modes of material nature, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nishtrigunya Bhavarjuna. The purpose of Vedic study is to transcend the activities of the three modes of material nature. Of course, in the material world, the mode of goodness is accepted as the best, and one can be promoted to the higher planetary systems by being on the Sattva-guna platform. However, that is not perfection. One must come to the conclusion that even Sattva-guna platform is also not good. One may dream that he has become a king with a good family, wife, and children, but immediately at the end of the dream, he comes to the conclusion that it is false. Similarly, all kinds of material happiness are undesirable for a person who wants spiritual salvation. If a person does not come to the conclusion that he has nothing to do with any kind of material happiness, he cannot come to the platform of understanding the absolute truth, or sattva gyan. Karmis, jnanis, and yogis are after some material elevation. The karmis work hard day and night for some bodily comfort, and the jnanis simply speculate about how to get out of the entanglement of karma and merge into the Brahman effulgence. The yogis are very much addicted to the acquisition of material perfection and magical powers. All of them are trying to be materially perfect, But the devotee very easily comes to the platform of nirguna in devotional service. And consequently, for the devotee, the results of karma, jnana, and yoga become very insignificant. Therefore, only the devotee is on the platform of sattva jnana, not the others. Of course, the jnani's position is better than that of the karmis, but that position is also insignificant. The jnani must actually become liberated, and after liberation, he may be situated in devotional service. Mad bhaktim labhate param. I'll read the translation once more. The dream becomes automatically known to a person as false and immaterial, and similarly, one eventually realizes that material happiness in this life or the next, on this planet or a higher planet, is insignificant. When one realizes this, the Vedas, although an excellent source, are insufficient to bring about direct knowledge of the truth. Om Jnanita Marandasya Vyandana Svakaya Chakchur Unnavatam Yena Tadasmai Sri Yudhve Namaha. So here it's speaking about how when one has a dream, the dream seems very real. And in a dream, we often become very afraid, or sometimes very elated or very happy. You know, like if someone is chasing you, trying to kill you. I'm sure everyone's had this experience. You may even be sweating profusely in a dream. It's so real that, I mean, it is real, you know. You're frightened, and you wake up, and when you wake up, you realize it's a dream, and thank God it was only a dream. So, as real as it may seem, when you wake up, you realize it's not a dream. So the material world is like that. When one is under the influence of the modes of material nature, one is helpless, and one cries out for help. And so we have the Vedas. The Vedas have been given to us in order that we have some direction as to how to act, because without direction, without leadership, there's no possibility of getting to where you want to go. The country has a leader, the country has a president, and according to that leadership, we're guided and we're given protection. So the Vedas are given to us in order that we have some direction as to how to get out of this material existence, because it's explained it's an ocean of material suffering. And the guru, because the guru knows the truth, the guru has seen the truth, he is able to guide the submissive student to become free from the bondage of these modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So here, in the very beginning of the purport, it's quoting this verse 245, Trigunya Visaya Veda Nistriguno of Arjuna. And Krishna is telling Arjuna, become free from these modes of material nature, become transcendentally situated above the modes of material nature. Without becoming transcendentally situated, one is helplessly lost in this ocean of suffering, which everyone is experiencing as happiness and distress, good and bad, all of these dualities we experience. And these sufferings, this is what Sanatana Goswami, when he was approaching Lord Chaitanya, he said, "I appear to be a very knowledgeable person. They even call me Pandit," because he was very educated, he knew so many languages. But he was taking a position, a very humble position of Lord Chaitanya, and saying, even though they call me Pandit, all of these sufferings are forced upon me, and they're unwanted. All of these sufferings are unwanted. Birth, death, disease, old age. And Prabhupada describes them in such a way as to say that they're compulsory. No one wants to get old, but yet it's compulsory. You have to get old. No one wants to get diseased, but it's compulsory. So these things are forced upon us. And here, Krishna is telling Arjuna, become transcendental to the three modes of material nature. And in this way, one rises above passion and ignorance and can come to the platform of goodness. And so it's imperative to come to the mode of goodness. The Brahman is in the mode of goodness. So Brahman is one who has knowledge of Brahman, of spirit. I am spirit. I'm not this material body. So how can we come to the mode of goodness? Well, Prabhupada explains that Krishna has given us these ears, so hear about Krishna. By hearing about Krishna, we automatically come immediately to the mode of goodness. So this is the platform from which we can advance to the platform of transcendence. And the Prabhupada says, even the mode of goodness is not completely pure. That even in material mode of goodness, Maya is prepared to attack. So there's the platform above the mode of goodness, Sutta Sattva. That is the transcendental stage of goodness, the Vasudeva stage, wherein Krishna appears. One can see Krishna, one can see Vasudeva. So we're not satisfied to just come to the material mode of goodness. We want to come to the topmost platform of Sutta Sattva. So here it's described that there's the Karmis, the Gyanis, and the Yogis, and each of them has some aspiration, some material advancement that they want. So all of these are still material. One can, by pious activities, one can be gradually elevated and be promoted to the heavenly planets, where one may enjoy thousands of times more than here on this planet. But at the end, when all of the pious activities are exhausted, and they will be, then one has to come back to this material platform, this earthly platform. And so, what is the value of these activities? So the karmakanda activities, fruitive activities, they are of no value. They're of no value whatsoever. If a person doesn't come to the conclusion that he has nothing to do with any kind of material happiness, he cannot come to the platform of understanding absolute truth, or tattva gyan. Karmis, jnanis, and yogis, they're all after some material elevation. Karmis work hard day and night for bodily comforts. The jnanis are speculating about how to get out of the entanglement of karma and to merge into the Brahman effulgence. And the yogis are addicted to material perfections and they're after some magical powers. But the devotee, because the devotee has taken shelter of the pure devotee, the pure devotee can guide one in such a way that he becomes liberated through his activities. Everyone has to be engaged in some kind of activity in this material world. And by your activity, you'll either be bound to this material world or you'll be liberated from it. Either way, that is the nature of karma. And so the devotee isn't interested in practicing just, you know, good karma. He doesn't want to be promoted to the heavenly planets. He wants to become situated in his constitutional position, which is being servant of Krishna. That is actually who we are. So Sanatana Goswami, he asked Lord Chaitanya, who am I? And in asking who he is, what is my duty? What am I supposed to do? So Lord Chaitanya instructed him that we are all eternal servants of Krishna, eternally. That is our constitutional position. There is a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's in the Adi Lila, I think it's chapter 7, not sure the verse, maybe 146. Sambandha Abhidheya Prayojana Nam, Ekina Artha Sarva Sutra Paryalasana. And what this is saying is that chapter 4 in the Gita is transcendental knowledge. So what is transcendental knowledge? Transcendental knowledge is spiritual knowledge of ourself, the soul. And it's spiritual knowledge of the universe, and it's spiritual knowledge of God. And what is our relationship with Krishna? We have an eternal relationship with Krishna, sambandha. And once that relationship becomes established, then we have to act in that relationship of hidheya, or activities in relationship to Krishna. And when these activities are performed, and when one becomes established in these activities of your relationship, then one actually comes to the ultimate goal of life, and that is to develop love of God. Prayojana siddhi. Sambandha, Vidheya, Prayojana, Nam. So this Prayojana Siddhi is the fulfillment of the human mission. And that is what we are attempting to become fully established in, is our eternal relationship, act in that relationship, and then to develop love of God. And this will make us happy. Anything else will fall short of bringing about real happiness. Real happiness isn't happiness found in the heavenly planets. Although it's thousands of times better than here, it's still temporary. It's still going to end. Like the dream, where you're dreaming that you're a king and you have this wonderful family. It's just like, I mean, people in their minds, they imagine how the king lives, how the president lives in the White House, and just like, wow, Wouldn't that be something? But it ends, and Obama's about ready to leave. He's had his 8 years, and now it's going to be finished. He's going to be back out, regular guy again. So, we aren't interested in that. What we're interested in is establishing ourselves in our constitutional position, that we're eternal servants of Krishna. And by engaging in that way, in activities that please Krishna, because the pure devotee knows how to please Krishna. He's on that platform. He's on the platform of Tattva Jnana, the liberated platform. And that is the platform of devotional service. Here it states at the end of the purport, Mad Bhaktim Madate Param. I'm not sure what that verse says, but that was a very important verse. So by becoming established on this platform, that is the platform of Nirguna, where one is above the modes. That is what Krishna is telling Arjuna. Become transcendental to these three modes of material nature. And that's the only way to actually become happy, to become situated transcendentally. Otherwise, even in the mode of goodness, Maya can attack. Maya is prepared to attack us. So we have to become transcendentally situated. And we do that by hearing about Krishna. So that's why every morning we hear and read Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the evening we read Bhagavad Gita. And then in the day we engage in activities that the spiritual master has given us. We're making so many offerings to the deities. We're going out in the street and distributing books, going to the colleges, speaking to the students, and give them information about Krishna. That is our only business. Our only business is to understand Krishna. And as human beings, we have no other business. We have no other business other than to understand Krishna and help others also come to that understanding. Without that, everyone is thinking, I'm Christian, I'm Hindu, I'm Muslim. And because they're thinking in this way, on the bodily platform, there are so many wars, so many horrible things are going on in the name of religion, politics, all of these isms, communism, capitalism. And in one swift stroke, by understanding Aham Brahmasmi, that we are spirit, that we're not this body, and that we were all the same, the dog, the elephant, everyone is the spirit soul. And the spirit soul is transmigrating from one body to another. And even in this body, there's that verse in the second chapter, Dehi Nosun Yata Dehe Kavaram Yagam Jarak, that we're transmigrating, even in this body we're transmigrating from one body to another. We're transmigrating from the youth to the boy and then to old age. So even in this body, we're changing bodies. So that is our position. And by understanding that we're the spirit soul, when this body finally no longer works, then one changes to another body. So the devotee, because he's established on the spiritual platform of Aham Brahmasmi and he's engaged in serving Krishna, he goes to Krishna. And that is That is all we're interested in, is going to Krishna and helping others grow to Krishna. Because that will make us happy. Everything else is just temporary. Duality. So we have to become situated on that spiritual platform. And then Krishna will reveal, Prabhupada will reveal to us what our relationship is with Krishna. That's really what we have to think every day. What is my relationship with Krishna? I have a relationship with Krishna. When we read in the Krishna book, that's why Prabhupada wants us to read the Krishna book regularly, about the cowherd boys and Krishna with the gopis, so that we can again go and be established just like that, as a cowherd boy or a gopi. And it's possible for us to become perfect in that in just one lifetime. Prabhupada has said, just use this one lifetime for developing your Krishna consciousness, and you can go back to Krishna. Any questions about this verse? I'll read the translation once more. A dream becomes automatically known to a person as false and immaterial, and similarly, one eventually realizes that material happiness in this life or the next, or on this planet or a higher planet, is insignificant. When one realizes this, the Vedas, although an excellent source, are insignificant to bring about direct knowledge of the truth. I think it's explained that the Bhagavad Gita, is the first real spiritual scripture for us. I think Prabhupada says that Gita is called the fifth Veda, Mahabharata, from the Mahabharata, it's the fifth Veda. And the Upanishads mark the beginning for real spiritual development. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary by Srila Vyasadeva on the Vedanta Sutra. And that verse that I quoted, Sambandha Abhidheya Prayojanana Etina Artha Sara Sutra Paryavasana. Paryavasana means the culmination of all the Vedanta Sutra is culminated in these three subjects, Sambandha, Avidheya, Prayojana. First, that we have a relationship with Krishna, become established and act in that relationship, and then to develop love of God, perfection of human life. So, that is the purpose of Vedanta Sutra in those three subjects. Any questions about this?
Yes. Thank you for your next class. I'd like to know more about those who are content with Vedic knowledge and they plateau after a while. They don't go beyond to Bhagavad Gita, to relationship with Krishna. But it seems that most of the Vedas, my understanding is that it's directed towards karma kanda.
Yes. Fruit activities. Mm. And advancing.
But it's a springboard for relationship with Krishna. But why is it that people are content to stop there?
Well, most people are looking for a higher standard of living. And advancing in some way materially to a higher position. And so all these sacrifices are talked about in the Vedas, that one can be promoted. Most people are attracted to the flowery language of the Vedas and being promoted to heavenly enjoyment. So this is what they're attracted to. And if one engages like that, He can even come to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, but that's not sufficient. The absolute truth is realized in three stages, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And so if one has a guru that is a pure devotee, one gets information of Bhagavan. Otherwise, if one doesn't have this connection to that knowledge of Bhagavan, then one may take thousands of births following different Vedic, you know, Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, and one may even come to Paramatma realization, but that's not sufficient. So Bhakti Yoga can immediately take one to this understanding of Bhagavan.
Don't the Vedas explain that this heavenly planet situation is temporary?
Well, they do, but still people are attracted and they may think that they'll go higher from there, but you may not. It's so wonderful. And the material energy is so captivating that unless one is able to actually take shelter of Krishna, Vasudeva, then one Bhakti Yoga can, in just one lifetime, by engaging in Bhakti Yoga, one can come to this topmost realization of Bhagavan. And without that, one, it will take thousands of lifetimes, and then there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that one will be able to go back home, back to God then. So Prabhupada has given us this Bhakti Yoga process, which is the topmost. We're the followers of the gopis, and this is the very topmost. Lord Chaitanya is giving this love of God. Lord Chaitanya has come and as a devotee in the mood of separation from Krishna, the mood of Radharani. So this is the very topmost platform of love of God and that's being offered to us. So anything other than that and we may have to take, who knows, how many births and still not come to that topmost platform of love of God. So we're following in the footsteps of the Six Goswamis, and they are in the mood of the gopis. So this is the path that we're following. Path of Lord Chaitanya. It's very important for us to understand that we are going to be able to achieve Krishna's lotus feet by going through Lord Chaitanya. One has to actually, especially in this Kali Yuga, one can't attain Krishna without understanding that Lord Chaitanya has come as a devotee and that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. And by taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya, then we can get Krishna. So we have Gaur Nitai. And Gaur Nitai is our real, we become fixed on remembering Nityananda. And Nityananda is Balaram. And the Panchatattva is, we're taking shelter of the Panchatattva to achieve Krishna. By chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And they may have chanted the holy name before, but Lord Chaitanya has come, and through his mercy, we can actually understand Krishna, not otherwise. Bhagavata to Srila Prabhupada. All the glories to Srila Bhagavata.
Thank you.